and a little bit of fun on a Friday here on Jewish Community Radio here on WJCU. University Heights, and we take a break from Heights programming, and in studio today for Jewish Community Radio is none other than Linda Ben-Susan from Yabi, Yeshiva.Dat Bnei Israel, a great Jewish educational institution here for, almost 100 years. Linda, welcome.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here. Thank you for asking me.
Yeah, so tell us, you are currently running Yabi.
That is correct. I'm the director of Yabi, that is now a child care center that serves children from 6 weeks of age to 4 years of age.
6 weeks. That's about as young as you can get for a daycare.
That
wow.
That is true.
That's impressive.
It is.
But before we go to what Yabi is doing today, let's explain to people what Yabi is, Yeshiva.Dat Bnei Israel. It's people call it by the abbreviation for short, because it's just much easier than the
right.
long name.
Mm-hmm.
So... this is a school that was started in, 1915?
About 1915, that's correct. What happened was there were no Orthodox afternoon schools, or any school that was Orthodox at that point in time, for children that came from Orthodox families that wanted a Jewish education. All the different day schools that are here today were definitely not around in Cleveland in 1915. And a few Balabatim got together and decided that they wanted to open up a school for their children who attended public school during the day to have a Jewish education after public school in the afternoon.
Now, traditionally in Cleveland and like many other cities, that was a norm where people would send their kids to school, to public school, and then after school, they would go to an educational program for their Jewish religious education, whether it be Orthodox, conservative, or reform.
Well, but the thing was, in Cleveland at that time, there was no Orthodox synagogue that had a afternoon school. There
uh-huh.
were for other denominations, but not for, the Orthodox. So that's why the Orthodox said, it's time for us to put together, a community school where the kids could attend after public school. And that's how Yabi came to be.
So, I'm not sure if you know the answers or not, but how was education done within the religious communities before then? Was it, Orthodox community, did people just do it at home themselves?
Well, I could just let you know that I know from my parents, when my parents were born in Cleveland, Irving and Leitrice Rabinsky, I know that their parents provided them with Jewish education, and I know my dad was one of the first students in Yabi, along with my uncle and my aunts, and my mother was telling me, too, that Mrs. Rachel Saretskin, Allah Shalom, she came and tutored her and her sister in her home. Through the generations from the beginning of time, if people really wanted their kids to get a Jewish education, they found a way.
And so Yabi was formed basically to be the afternoon educational school.
Correct. In the Cleveland Jewish community.
For the Orthodox community, yeah.
Right.
So when it first formed, there were, how did it first form? How did it first start?
I think there were some Balabatim that got together.
Which means heads of household in English.
Right. Well, what happened was a few Balabatim just got together, gave contributions, and I think they were first a house on Westchester and East 105th. It was they converted the building from a three-family row house, and the downstairs had a shul where the students would daven mincha and also come to daven, practice bar mitzvah lessons, etc. on Shabbos. And it was housed basically on Westchester and East 105th. They, through the tuition that was paid, they hired directors. There were a few directors, Rabbi Fine, Rabbi Swell, Rabbi Clark, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Spiegelman, Rabbi Berman. And now my husband, he was the last director of Yabi. They moved to Taylor Road Synagogue in the late 50s, but they moved with the Jewish community.
Of course, Taylor Road Synagogue is a major, major synagogue at the time, one of the biggest Orthodox buildings, synagogue buildings that's still up today.
Right. So they moved right there into Taylor Road Synagogue to the 50s, and it was at that point in time where the Hebrew Academy had already been in existence and day school education started to come on the picture. When the Yabi faculty saw that there was now a day school, they encouraged their children who were going to public school and then Hebrew school to then attend a full day school. So they kind of started to put themselves out of business by encouraging their students to go there. What happened was at that point, the numbers, of course, started to dwindle. And my grandfather, Mr. Frank Rabinsky, well, he came on the picture. He was very well respected by Federation, the Bureau of Jewish Education. And he said instead of facing, closing the doors of Yabi, he said he would try to revitalize the organization. He approached the Hebrew Academy, who, interestingly enough, during those times in the 60s, was going to open a Hebrew school, an afternoon school of their own. And Rabbi Joseph Fabian was hired to be the director. My grandfather, Oliver Shalom, actually approached the Hebrew Academy, and they agreed to incorporate the Hebrew afternoon school, which they were thinking about, in with Yabby, and that Rabbi Joseph Fabian would be the assistant director. And that's how Rabbi Fabian became associated. And my grandfather then purchased the building on Warrensville Center Road, where Yabby is housed today, and now, completely turned around the organization.
Now, of course, Rabbi Fabian is very well known, as well as Rabbi Spiegelman, who also was very well known for running Yabby. There was a, in its heyday, it was the most respected afternoon school program in the Orthodox community. Now, one thing about the building, they moved from the location in Cleveland to
they were in Taylor Road for a little bit.
But Taylor Road. Then they moved from Taylor Road Synagogue. They moved to Warrensville Road.
University Heights.
What year was that about?
That was in the 60s. I think it was in the early 60s. That was the heyday where the Jewish community was located right there.
Yeah, I remember, because we used to go from public school. Everybody, it was normal. Everyone hopped on a bus. The school bus would take us right to Yabby.
Right.
It was, there was lines and lines of buses that would drop everybody off after school.
That's right. And I think the enrollment grew so that my grandfather was instrumental in Yabby. You know, they added an addition, a wing, onto the building.
Which has a nice big room there, which is used for everything from, I don't know, parties or classes.
But they also added classrooms, a whole classroom wing, which we now use today.
Now, when I was there, there was, so shows how old I am, but there was a hallway, and between the two classes, we used to go in this little snack shop, and I would never forget, as a little kid, getting pretzels.
Right.
My little pretzel sticks.
I had to have my snack. I remember that very well. The snack room is now a storage room right off the main office. We've kind of reconstructed the building.
And today, Yabby is a great institution, also continuing on with that mission. Daniel, before we go on with that mission, let's get a chance to take a break here. And how about if we hear the news from Israel? And we'll come right back with Linda Ben-Susan from Yeshiva Dat B'nai Israel, also known as Yabby. And we'll talk about what's happening there today as far as Jewish education and what they're doing. You're listening to Jewish Community Radio right here on WJCU, University Heights. And we come back now with our guest today, Linda Ben-Susan from Yabby. Linda, welcome back.
Thanks a lot.
So we were talking during the break a little bit about what Yabby is doing today.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us.
Very exciting. We are a child care center servicing, like I said, kids from 6 weeks of age to 4 years of age. We've been in operation for about 22 years now, licensed by the State of Ohio Department of Human Services, with a wonderful staff, many of whom have been on staff almost since we opened, 15, 16 years, which is really incredible for any school. We're really very proud of the fact who we're licensed by the State of Ohio Department of Human Services. They come out and make inspections, you know, twice a year, and thank God, Bli Ayin Hara, we have had absolutely no violations in the 22 years that we've been in operation, and we're very grateful, and that's because of the wonderful staff we have. We have about 100 children that we service, and I do want to say that we are continuing with the charter of Yabby, where we welcome all children that are either Orthodox, conservative, Reform to our program, even though we are by philosophy an Orthodox institution. We're open from 7:30 to 6, 5 days a week, and we are open 12 months a year. And we have
not just a school year, 12 months.
Right. We've got two registration periods, the school year and the summer session is a separate session. I personally, when I established the program, this is a nonprofit organization. We encourage parents to stay home with their kids when they can. And in the beginning, when we first opened up, I opened it because I myself had a 3-year-old son and was looking for a quality nursery school programming. Some of my friends approached me and said, you know, they had me as a director when I was the director at Young Israel Nursery School, and said, let's open a program for a year for our kids. And I actually approached Yabby along with my husband, who was director at the time of Yabby, and we asked them if they would, you know, be able to give us a room for a year for this program. And Yabby, who always answered the needs of the Jewish community, said fine, and we could only use the building though until 4 o'clock, because the Hebrew school is in session.
But was that good enough for most mothers?
At that time, it was just supposed to be a nursery school until 12:30, 1 o'clock, until the Hebrew Academy at that year approached me. Rabbi Fried was the principal at that time and said that the teachers were always calling in sick because the babysitters weren't showing up. Would we be interested in opening up a daycare center for infants on up? And we talked about it. We approached Yabby, and they said if it's a need in the Jewish community, to go for it, but that I would have to establish and direct it, which I have done since its inception.
So your husband's in charge still, or you're in charge right now?
Right now, there's only the daycare center there.
Uh-huh, okay.
So he is executive director. I am the educational director, and Ellie Adler is the president.
Okay. And let me ask this question. I'm curious. The synagogue, is it still functioning? Is there a synagogue? I remember there was the one group that rented the synagogue. Are they still using it?
Right. Renat Israel was the synagogue for many, many years there. Now, what's beautiful about the shul, which has always been from its inception, is that Yabby's goal was not only to teach the kids the Hebrew, etc., the parasha, but when it came time for davening, which was a very important part of a child's upbringing, as well as practicing for bar mitzvah, they were able to use the shul, which was very much part of the school. But then it was also a shul for all of the community who lived in the neighboring, you know, streets, which was really very, very nice.
So right now you have classrooms. Are the classrooms used for anything else? Can people use the classrooms for events or, you know, for educational purposes, or is it all right now strictly set up right now just as a daycare?
It's used just now. We have really, actually, we just converted the last space available, our boardroom in front of the shul, into an infant room.
Aww.
Because we had such a demand.
The room with the big oak paneling, the dark
right,
paneling.
That's still there.
A lot of children
are in there now because of the demand in the community. Last Pesach, we had about 12 parents who came to us and said, we've heard so much, we need care, can we come? And what happened was we approached the board and they said, yes, go ahead. And we went ahead and contacted City Hall, the county, etc. And within 2 months, we were able to open. We had to do some construction. So thank God we're burgeoning, but there's no more space to convert.
Okay. So let me ask you one quick point I wanted to ask you about. Uh-huh. So this program here is available to not just Orthodox, it's open to everybody.
It's open to everybody.
But the advantage is that it's a daycare that happens to have kosher food.
Right. Well, actually, the parents provide their own food. And the reason for that being is that children, this is not like elementary school where everybody's hungry, they come in and eat at 12 o'clock. These are babies, toddlers, everybody's
uh-huh.
got their own.
Got it.
You know, interest. Okay. And it ended up that we were supplementing food, so parents just send on their own.
So, how many people do you have working there? It's got to be pretty big operation then.
Right. We have about 20 staff members, and we also are Jewish based, meaning that we have a full Jewish curriculum. And what's nice is parents will come to us who are unaffiliated and who are just looking really for quality, you know, Jewish care or just quality care. And as they become involved and their kids make friendships and they make friendships, what's nice is they, you know, become more involved Jewishly, which is wonderful. And many of our kids do continue on in different areas of Jewish education.
Well, speaking of which, Jewish education has grown tremendously over the past number of years at Cleveland. I remember when the Hebrew Academy was, had everybody there. You had people who were the minority were the ultra-Orthodox, so to speak, the black hat Haredi community. They were about 10%, and the rest of it was more the average, more considered say modern Orthodox, and then you had your groups of traditional and non-religious people there as well. So Hebrew Academy had everybody in those days, and education in Cleveland has, Jewish education-wise, I should say, has grown tremendously. Right now you have the Hebrew Academy, you have Mozos, you have Mizrahi, there's Agon has been there for a long time too. You have Gross Schechter. There are I'm probably missing a few too. What's the name of the school in the college building?
Is it Agnon?
There's mm-hmm. another one there. Is another one there? Or they closed down? I think it was there used
Akiva.
To be one. Akiva,
right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, but there has been a tremendous growth of Jewish education in Cleveland, where we went from afternoon school programs to having full-time day schools in our city.
Well, that's actually why Yabby encouraged its students to go from there aren't too many programs or businesses that try to encourage people to leave.
Huh.
Yabby is actually, they did encourage their kids, they wanted them to go to the day schools, and actually Yabby was the last Hebrew afternoon school to close its doors in the United States. Also, Yabby was the first Jewish program to welcome infants. I actually got a call from the Bureau of Jewish Education in New York asking us about our program because we were the first Jewish program in the United States to incorporate infants into our child care program.
That's incredible. Linda, congratulations on all the great work you're
doing.
Thank
you. Thank you so much for welcoming, too. It was a pleasure being with you. We love your radio station, along with, you know, what else you do for the Frum community. Thank you, Fred.
Trying to help everybody. But nonetheless, I want to thank you for coming on. And a quick reminder before we go that this is Erev Shabbat. Parshat Ekev. Candlelighting today is no later than 7:57 p.m.